email. Good Sunday morning. This is Dave. Say hello, Linda.
Hello.
And we just go, well, let's give a weather. We tend to give a weather forecast, yeah, for some reason lately, so we'll give a weather forecast. We're here in Tennessee where it is extremely bright, clear, and crisp cold. I don't know what the degrees is, but it's, I would say, below 30.
And
we've
it's
had
snow.
An inch and a half of snow, which is big for us.
That is some big news.
I took Friday off because it was so dangerous.
Well, the combination of
actually
ice,
it was.
So
cause
it was.
Because we had one of our typical southeastern ice storms, which, trust me, I'd rather have a blizzard.
Yeah.
I will not drive in ice, so I did not go into work and enjoyed the day goofing off.
Well, we got the day off because
okay.
I drive around a lot and I guess they don't know.
Out of
so it was the.
If it wasn't for the ice, the snow would have been massive.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what we're looking at today. We're looking out our back window with the wonderful snow. It's actually quite pretty. And
yes.
It is, I call it a crisp.
I like your description.
Well, I guess that works. So what are we talking about this morning? I titled it, Are You Reigning Over Your Kingdom? And it's almost part two of last week. And part of this is because of what I call a Kairos moment right there on the during the broadcast last week that we felt like we needed to talk about kingdom work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to read our introduction. Just to kind of get you where, you know, what we're thinking. And that is, are you reigning over your kingdom? Did you even realize you have a kingdom? I think we all have a kingdom. It's our community of family, friends, colleagues, church members, etc. This is where you have been placed. Or you could call it your ministry. Are you reigning over that kingdom? Are you cultivating your relationships? Are you helping and encouraging others towards success and growth? And that's what we want to talk about this morning, because during our show last week, and this kind of fits in with our, quote, business plan, which we don't have.
We do have it in our
well,
own
I, that's
mind.
Why I want to explain that
yes.
a little bit, because this kind of fits in a little bit, because this concept of community or kingdom is what we're doing with our own business. Our whole goal is to create a community of helping each other, of reliable resources, people who are all in the same kind of industry that we're in.
Right.
Which the Lord has just continues to open doors and guide us. That's why we don't have a business plan. We really don't.
Really?
I mean, we talk about it. I draw a few things. And, you know, we kind of know where we're headed, but we don't have a business plan because we're letting the Lord lead and guide us. Now, that may sound foolish to others.
Definitely.
But we have the luxury of failure.
We do have the luxury.
You know,
and
really
we have the luxury that God guides us. And to me, it is a business plan. We know in our heads. We know who we serve. We know what we want to do.
We know what our community
is. We know what our community is. It's an, I would call it, I made this up right this moment. It's a Lindanism. If you have Davisms, I can have that.
Let's hear a Lindanism.
It's an organic business plan.
It's an organic business plan. I
because
like that.
Because it's moving and shaping as we go along.
And literally, folks, and we'll use our businesses, and not for advertisement, but just as an example of what
right.
we're talking about. It's kind of a nice picture.
Right.
So we have this concept that we're going to call compassionate care. And this is coming in the future. We haven't branded everything. We're going to have to rebrand everything.
Yeah.
Right now we're still trying to get functional.
Yeah.
But the idea is our community of care are the terminally ill.
Yeah.
Linda is a hospice nurse. She has a degree in counseling. She has a degree in divinity. She has a master's degree. Her community, her work has drawn her into the community of dying. And that's where we are. And and our response to that is, okay, Lord, this is our community.
It is our community.
This is for our business. This is our ministry, you know, and that is to help people connect,
Yes.
You know, we're working on that. We're drawing other people into other resources into our community because they'll benefit us.
Yes.
We'll benefit them. And we want to expose those resources to people who need them.
Right, and help people in a referral base when you are
right.
caring for
we'll
loved
refer
ones.
To others,
yes.
others refer to us, et cetera, et cetera.
Just caring for those at the end of life. Families need a lot of support when you're caring for a loved one at the end of life. So
right.
to build that community and referral base, and I can help you do this and that. A long time ago, communities, you know, they didn't have hospices and all of those things, so the community got together and helped people.
And that's the idea here.
And that is the idea.
It's about people.
Yes.
The business money side of it, mm-hmm. we are truly just trusting the Lord.
We really are.
I mean, now, do I have a full-time job that pays well? Yeah, I do.
Thank
God. You know, I work for Vanderbilt University Medical Center, and that's about as safe and secure as you can get. And it is no promise, but it's pretty close. Linda is a hospice nurse and is always in demand. So we have those things. We know God's going to take care of us.
Right.
We're not worried about that. Where the business goes is His business.
Yeah.
We cooperate. We listen. We pray. We take the next step. We fail. We succeed. We find things that work. We find things that don't.
And
okay.
we're learning all the way. And it is, we consider the business a ministry.
Absolutely.
Because we are here to serve those families. And
we
really,
don't want to be.
Yeah, yeah. We just are here to serve only the families, but also other people. As the life coach would teach, you know, it's a whole lifespan. If you're at the beginning, middle, or end of life, that is kind of where my focus is. But it is a ministry in helping people wherever you are going through the tough processes. But how does that fit with reigning over your kingdom? And I think we're in the process of learning how to, first of all, build resources for everybody. Like, I can't do everything, but I know somebody else that is really good at that, and maybe they can help somebody. So it's just building this community that is willing to serve others.
Yeah. And so for our listeners, hang in here with us.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're building a picture for you. We're trying to.
Right.
Using our business as kind of an
Power
example.
Down. Yes.
So we have this business, you know, and part of it is coaching, and part of it is pain management, part of it's end-of-life doula services, and so on and so on, and we're setting all this, and we're organizing it. But ultimately, it's God's kingdom.
It is
His community. We've given it to Him, and we've asked Him to bless it according to His plan and according to His will. If it grows big, wonderful. People are ministered to. If it doesn't, wonderful. That wasn't His intention. Maybe His intention was for us to be small and minister to just a small group, and we never really make any money. Okay.
Yeah, that's
well,
okay.
Well, if nothing
too.
Else, somebody might listen to this program and grow.
Right.
Then it's worth it.
It's worth it.
And we did a program several sessions ago, I would say about a month and a half, called Don't Be Connected to Results. And that's exactly what we're doing. We're letting God worry. I let God worry about the results. We cooperate. We pray. And if we have a new idea, then we say, thank you, Lord. We've got a new idea. Let's try it. And it succeeds or it doesn't.
And that is, when you're building, that's our example of how we're trying to build a community. But as you're building your community or your kingdom, because we are really.
Yeah, get it back.
We are, yeah, we are kingdom people. And so as you're building the area, your kingdom that God has given you is your area of influence. Be it your neighbors, like you said, your job. How are you connecting people that may can help? Or how are you reigning over your kingdom? If you're a mom and you have children, and is there a community? You know, because there's some moms. And when I was mom in that stage, I had a community of moms.
And you guys supported each other.
And we supported each other. We babysat when need be.
Heck,
if I was going shopping, we homeschooled our children together. If I was going to the store.
And let me interrupt. Their results of homeschooling is friggin' amazing.
It is. I'm very proud.
Because I keep hearing Linda gets an email from one of those students who says, now I'm a doctor, now I'm a lawyer.
Yes, I'm so proud.
And
we have
person did great.
We have three doctors, a councilman,
wow,
an actress.
Wow.
My daughter is a speech therapist.
And you're younger.
My younger. Yeah, I'm a
master's from Vanderbilt.
And
very
it's a midwife. So that little community, and some of them were coming in and out. Some of them would go to school.
Well, here's a good question for you. Did you ever dream?
I had no
idea.
Would
go that
no,
far.
No idea.
That day school, that home school, gave them the basis to succeed.
And I feel like we had, now as I look back, we had a good model. Because some of them really went to school. But they would be able to come later and come to the homeschool maybe if their mother if their mother worked or something. Some other people in the community would go to it's one of our shout out to Sister Yvette. They may come over to her house just for a couple of hours because they were waiting on their mom to come. So they would be taught if they whatever we were teaching or if it was somebody's
turn. They got extra.
They got extra. So,
they went to regular school and then they might can't come in and get
for
the
after
end of
school care.
History.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah. So they got taught that it became like a little community and some people just really.
So that's a really good example.
Yes, yes.
Of community and then seeing the results.
Now
those
they're all in their late 20s,
people.
Early 30s, mid 30s. And I'm like sometimes when I hear from them, I am just like, oh my God, really?
And you can say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
I
Lord.
Got to be a part.
And I was a small part. I was one of the working
buddies. Yes, being successful. You chose and honored me by using me.
Yeah.
And it is.
It is. And it's like that kind of thing where we were in a community where there were a lot of single moms and people that needed that. You know, maybe three to
well, let's explain something here.
Yeah.
Because I think this is interesting. And it's a little off track, but it's also, Linda was in the Muslim nation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've talked to Linda, and I've just been picking up bits and pieces and bits and pieces. And one of the things I've said to her, and I'm going to say it here, is sometimes we ought to be just like them.
Well,
I mean, they had some criteria. They had community.
It really was
a
community.
They supported each other. Linda has told stories where the men of the community would help her with rambunctious teenagers and set them on the right path.
Yes.
They weren't playing.
Well, it really was that we raised, what is that? A village is raising
a
child.
Village,
it takes a village. So that was really prevalent in the community.
I wish it was
and
more
it
prevalent in our community today, whatever the community.
And we all live very near each other. That was another thing. We pretty much had a community in Dayton that we were no more than 5 or 6 blocks from each other.
This is certainly no commercial for this.
It's not.
For the
it's
nation,
not.
The Islam nation in America.
No,
but
I'm not saying that. But there, in everything, there is some good, you know, and some things.
Well, as an example of community involvement, and when I say community, I'm not talking about municipality. I'm talking about the nation. And how they supported each other, and how they encouraged each other, and how they provided training and all jobs. You know, we really are not supposed to have social. Maybe we better not.
Yeah, but
all I'm saying is I'm going to say this: in an ideal world, according to the Bible and everything, it's the churches. Should be supporting the poor and the needy.
Right. If you think about it, who better to serve a community than the people in the community?
Amen.
And I feel like what we learned to do, the reason it was a decision for everybody to live in a certain community, and we all bought houses very close to each other.
So it was planned.
So it was planned. So it wasn't like,
and my guess
not
is
all,
probably
but a
all
lot.
Told each other, hey, this is the community you want to move into.
Right.
If you're part of this group.
Right. I mean, it was, you didn't have to live in that community.
The Islamic nation has real estate. And I'm not going to go there. Who knows how much.
Yeah, but you didn't have to live. It was your choice. But we did say we're forming a community here. It's most of us, I would say.
And it's the church, really.
Right.
But instead of what we do in the typical Protestant, we have a church and whoever's there goes.
Right.
You guys planned it.
Yes,
it
was.
You said, we're going to start a synagogue here. We're going to place an imam in this community.
Right.
And then you started recreating, really.
Pretty much. And it was easy because we were very vibrant in the community and providing education, da-da-da-da-da. And that was a planned thing. But I can take that model and say, you can do that in your community.
Let's bring this into the practical.
The practical. How can you reign over your kingdom? Now, you don't have to do all of this, but these are suggestions.
Let's start with, what is the definition of your kingdom? What does that mean? If you don't have it, I'll take it.
Okay. I give you mine and you give what. I feel like God has placed us in places, be it your work, your job, the actual community that you live in.
The physical, secular world you're in.
The church you go to. That's your kingdom.
That is your kingdom. Amen. That's my definition. Perfect.
That's
exactly where I was going. Is God has you where you are for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't made a mistake. And I'm sorry, I know sometimes that's hard to go, really, here, now, this I got to deal with. But that is your place of service and ministry. A good example, and I hope Linda doesn't mind me using her a little bit, is when she came to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Became a Christian, renounced her Muslim, whatever, beliefs, and said, I'm a Christian. Boy, she jumped in as best she could with the resources she had. Because remember now, she's surrounded by an Islamic community. Everybody she sees, everybody she comes in contact with on a daily basis is Islamic and is not favorable to her change.
No.
Okay. So she studied and worked, and her teachers were
TVN
and radio, whatever.
I would go only, I could only visit, because I guess I was a closet Christian for like a year and a half.
Yep.
So I would go to other churches and stuff like as a visitor. And some I frequented more than others. But the information in my growth, I feel like, was really dependent on me reading the Word.
And the Holy Spirit.
And the Holy Spirit.
Which is sometimes I want to tell people, you know, you're searching for the right pastor. You're searching for the right this and the right that. And read this book and read that book. When you have the Holy Spirit and you have the Holy Scriptures.
Yes.
And ultimately, that's all you need, really.
It really is.
But I understand it. I've had my teachers in my life and my mentors.
Oh,
but,
I would have loved.
But you kind of had to jump out of there. The reason I'm going here is, there's a reason I'm going there. So your next thing after some study and reading was a belief that God wanted you to be a minister.
Yes.
So then you got ordained.
Yes.
And then you got involved in a church that was training you.
Yes.
And preparing you for church leadership.
Right. And I think they did a pretty good job.
And then you realize, this is not my calling.
Well,
somewhere God started.
I first saw that I thought God was calling me into ministry to be in the pulpit and all of that. So, no, I do feel like I'm in my calling.
Oh, I know. That's
where I'm going. Yeah, I did at the first time I had that dream that I would someday have a church.
Because I think this is common for Christians.
Yeah,
they're excited
and
they
would
think
be,
God's
going
to, you know, place them in the pulpit, that they've been called to be a missionary or whatever.
And I did believe all of that. I wasn't really sure, but I kind of felt it was going that way. It took some years to realize, and I feel like God just morphed me that He already had me in my ministry.
Exactly.
And that was as a nurse and to serve others. And I am a minister. I minister every day to people.
And sometimes you actually put on the hat.
And I guess I...
What do they call it at your work? Chaplain.
Yes.
Because you have the credentials.
Right.
Attorney, you know?
So it's the ministry that I thought I would be preaching to hundreds and stuff is more of a one-on-one ministry.
And so I did all that to identify with those folks who may have been there or maybe today.
Right.
who are thinking, oh, and this is what we do as baby Christians, and mm-hmm. I don't want to put a wet blanket on anybody.
Mm-mm.
That is not my point.
Some people
if
are really
feel,
called
if
to
you
that.
Feel like you're being called to that, pursue it.
Yes,
Because that's where you want to be,
right.
In the center of God's will. But what happens a lot of times for me, for Linda, for many Christians, because I had the same dream one time many, many years ago, you know, in my 20s,
mm-hmm.
mid to late 20s, where I thought, well, you know, this is what my mentor does, you know, mm-hmm. and I probably, you know, maybe I'm headed there, you know, I'm going to teach big Bible studies with hundreds of people or something, you know.
Right.
Now, that's not my calling. It's
mm-hmm.
okay. I mean, it might be in the future.
Yeah.
And we'll morph. And that's one of the things I love about God is, you know, change is pretty, it's
it
regular.
Is. It is. You're being used of God,
so
and I get that. Yeah.
So talk about the average person and
the
what their community probably looks like so that they recognize it.
And leave that in. I feel like I'm the average person. We're the average
Yeah,
general.
We are, actually.
Actually, so what your community may look like, I'm going to give example.
Yeah.
Of, you
That's
know.
A single mom.
Yeah, a single mom. So who is your community? Maybe some friends, some girlfriends, your kids, your children all go to the same school. And
Start looking
for those people that maybe you can offer another mom a ride because you're going, or she could offer to pick up your children. And little things like that is kind of how when I was raising my children, I connected with a group of women, and we all just, I guess you could say, we helped each other and passed those favors along. If all of our children were going, I don't know, to the football game, or if we had
and
three
one
sons.
One mom could take four.
Yes, she would do that, and then the other mom, okay, well, at 5 o'clock, I can pick them up. And we just, this community, basically, just because we passed these on, it just started grew when we start connecting with other moms who needed some help.
So look for people who are interested
in
what you're interested in.
Right.
That's a great way. That's one way. And say, hey, can we help each other?
Right. And then be willing to serve. So we'll be willing to do your part.
When we talk about community, this is, yes, it is. Your community also is the kingdom of God.
It is.
And yes, our goal is to grow the kingdom.
Right.
I want to grow the kingdom.
Right.
But you first have to be a Christian.
Yeah.
You know, you have to act like a Christian. You have to love like a Christian. I mean, to me, I call it earning the right to witness, where you just be Christ-like in all your actions as best you can. We do fail. And let the Lord witness through you.
Through your actions.
Who you are. And the opportunity to speak will probably come.
More than you know.
It'll probably be tapped on the shoulder with a question.
And it starts with you being willing to serve. Just that.
Be
willing to serve. And then, you know, if you form this group, you have to be a man or woman of your word. If you promise to pick the children up, then you need to be there on time to pick the children up because it is some work.
Because people are counting.
Because people
you
are counting.
You now have others who
yes.
are counting you to pull your weight.
Yes. And you have to be able to pull your weight in whatever realm of service you choose.
So you're a single mom.
Mm-hmm.
You're working a job, one at least.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're trying to put food on the table, pay the utility bills, and get kids back and forth to work and extracurricular activities. And now you've found a few people that can kind of maybe team with you.
Right.
That's your community. And folks, it's not about how large it is.
Mm-mm.
It's about how obedient you are, how servant-like you are. Let God take care of the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you think you're going to go out and build a huge community of disciples, well, good luck.
Yeah.
But not
and
many of us are called to that.
Right. Right. But if it's only three or four of you guys, but you are dependable, you help each other out.
Maybe you're a single mom, and your whole community today is you and your child.
Right.
Okay. Well, then make that child your kingdom. You know, grow them, water them, disciple them, and then look from others, because God will bring them.
And He will, because they will have friends. You know, I was always very careful, but the community that I was in, I felt very comfortable about my children. In this day and age, I would be very hesitant about my children spending the night over other people. But, you know, but that community is that maybe you guys take the kids to the movies or whatever you guys do.
Maybe it's a Saturday play day.
Right.
You know, whatever.
But all together, you culture your children together. You take them to museums, and these are the things that we did.
You feed them.
You feed them. Yes. And you make that purposeful, because we did purposeful things to provide culture. They traveled. They did a lot of expensive things.
And what I want to put into people today is ministry does not have to be in a church.
Mm-mm.
Ministry does not have to be with a Bible open. Ministry does not have to be with you screaming and hollering or whatever. It's love. So it's love when you expose, let's say in this case, your children to good stuff.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be church. Trust me, if you're walking in the Spirit and you're exhibiting Christ-like attributes, you will witness.
You will witness.
One way or the
other. People want to know. They're asking, you know, you always.
You know, why are you? Why
you
is this okay?
You know, or whatever. Sometimes people say, why are you doing this? Because they are just so overwhelmed that somebody would be so helpful for them.
That would take the time.
Yes.
So I'm encouraging those folks. Then I'm encouraging also, maybe you're not married. You have no kids, you're new to a town,
mm-hmm.
you're taking a new job, and you're in the big city.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
You've been there.
You want to talk about that? You want me to go?
Yeah, you talk about
it. So here's some opportunities. Find a church.
Yeah.
You know, find a church where you can connect mm-hmm. with either the leadership and or, you know, the men's group or the women's group or the young people's group or whatever. And start saying, hi, I'm Dave. And I know this is difficult for some people. It's been difficult for me. It's not anymore, but it was.
Yeah, I could see
you know,
that.
You know, I go to church and I'd sit in the back row and never say a word to anybody. And part of me still likes that.
I have to say that.
But, okay, there's number one. Number two, cultivate the people you work with.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it can be as simple as honestly saying, how you doing? And stopping to listen, not just and as you're walking by, to stop and say, hey, how you doing? Really, how you doing? And if they want to talk, they'll talk. And if they don't, they won't.
Right. And, you know, you can be the initiator. You do this, a fun activity. We don't all have to be so holier than thou.
Yeah, initialize a happy hour.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Are you talking today being in a bar? I'm talking about you being mature enough, and if you're not, then don't do this. I'm mature enough now, or I don't know if maturity is the right level, far enough away from some of my old bosses that I can easily do a happy hour with my friends from work. I'm not convicted. I don't think I'm doing anything wrong. I'm just there hanging out with them, building my relationships.
And it also can be a
Baseball games, football games
that you go with your work family.
Not as often as I should, probably. But
I'm just about a movie night.
You know, where everybody goes see a movie that looks interesting to most of the people in the group.
And it's not about what you can do, it's about whatever everybody's interest is.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you
so
are.
So it's the little things that will add up, trust me.
It is.
Open doors. Yes, ma'am. You know, be courteous, be loving, be kind. Look for things to do. I still, and even now, as much as, you know, after a year and a half, I still have people who look at me like, huh? Because I'll stop. I mean, these are my coworkers. And I go, hey, I'm going to the break room. You think you need? And they'll kind of like, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that we don't all take care of each other. Any of the people I work with might ask me the same thing. But I make a point of it, not in a show, but to say, look, you know, you're important to me. And I can certainly get you a cup of coffee or whatever.
Yeah, and it's really looking for opportunities to build your community or kingdom, and then the willingness to serve the people. And it can be small ways. It may not be big things, but sometimes serving is being a listening ear, a hand, a smile.
Cares.
Yeah, just showing caring, support, and stuff. It can be, and, you know, we talked about active, but what about if you're a retired gentleman or woman and you live in a community, you can help some people in the community. Maybe you got some other people. Some communities are full of people that lived in the same community for 20 or 30 years. Maybe you're the one that is maybe most active. Check on some of those people that you know can't get out like they used to.
Thank you very much. I'm now convicted about our neighborhood.
Yes.
Since we haven't even, you know, we've got our neighbors to the left of us.
That's
we
it.
We see the neighbors to the
right.
Well,
I have spoken, and that's something
so
I think
we're
that,
guilty of
yes.
that. We need to get out and knock on these doors and say, hey, I'm Dave. I'm here. Let me know if there's anything.
And it could be something as simple as when they go out of town, they feel comfortable with
you
watching
you
out. Pants?
Can I let the dog out? I will. You know, within reason.
Little things, but sometimes little things mean a whole bunch.
Mean
and I feel like as Americans sometimes, and I'm guilty of that, you get so caught up in your own world that we've forgotten about our neighborhoods and that we can be neighbors to each other.
So we need to start that.
Yes, and we're convicting ourselves that we do need to do that. And I do speak to
it's
a high.
Better than us because she's home.
I am home
at different times and sees people that I don't see. But there's a good example. Let's use that. Walk next door, knock on the door, and say, hi, I'm Dave. Just wanted to introduce myself, say hi, let you know you're welcome. You know, anytime you want to come over for a cup of coffee or something, you might want to call ahead, but hey, we're here. In the meantime, if you're out of town, you want somebody to empty your mailbox, pick up your newspaper. You know, if there's something we can do for you, if you're at work and you can't meet the gas man and one of us is home, we'll meet them for you. You know, those count. That's
count.
An investment.
And sometimes we think that, and I think that we have to do these super huge things, and I'm guilty of that too, but really sometimes relationships are formed in the small gifts.
At the water cooler.
Yeah,
as I call it. You know, not many people have a water cooler anymore, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
They're in a moment of simply looking somebody in the eye and going, how are you?
Yeah.
You know, and really mean it.
And
you know, some
me,
people will tell you,
really,
some people won't know what to do.
Yes. And in that kind of gets on you with starting a conversation with somebody who just seems to be like, you know, they got some fear in their head.
They're anxious. They're worried.
Yes.
They're mumbling to themselves. You know, believe me, in my business in computer work, I see people talking with terminals every day.
I talk to myself. Well, you know that. I have to be in my car figuring out the whole care plan for a patient. And if somebody was listening to me, they'd be like, she is gone, Looney Tunes.
Yeah, Looney Tunes.
But anyway, that is that. But how do these, really, to me, if you think about, these are practical ways to serve others, and that's part of building your kingdom. But the king or the queen of your kingdom is you.
Okay.
So you also have to spend time building yourself. You know, as a king or queen of your kingdom, we are God's children. We are royal priesthood. So what do you do as a king or a queen to build yourself? I feel like there are things that we need to pray for to be advocates, to be this royal priesthood God has selected us to be. We are the seeing vessels of what he has done on the earth realm. So you have to act, walk, talk. Like that.
Assume your position.
Yes. So you know, even though you may have, and I'm
and
learning
this. And your kingdom
this,
may be three.
And your kingdom may be three, but people are looking at you. When people know that you're a Christian, all eyes are on you. Believe that. So how are you presenting yourself as a king or queen of God's designated territory that he's giving you, how are you presenting yourself in the midst of that is very important.
You are an ambassador for Christ. That
right.
is awesome. Well, okay, so maybe you're not ready to build your community. Maybe you're in training.
And that's okay, because we all need that time to get ourselves in position.
Let me rephrase that, because I think we all have a kingdom.
Yeah.
It may be a kingdom of one.
That is true.
And right now, you've been recently saved. Mm-hmm. Or you're recovering from a really period of time when you didn't walk with the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, make sure you're taking care of yourself.
But your own
in your kingdom. Yeah, Linda has the best one. It comes from the safety briefing you get on every plane flight. You know, put the oxygen mask on yourself first. Then you can take care of the
next. And how do you do that? You get in your word. You spend time quiet in prayer and meditation. You spend time with the Lord. And you can start still serving in small ways. You know, like just like we said, if it's a neighbor that you feel like that hasn't, nobody can stop you from doing the small
thing. And maybe you're not. You're an introvert.
Yeah.
I'm ultimately, bottom line, I'm an introvert.
I have a lot of
who's worked hard to be comfortable with people and whatever. And I'm pretty far along my line now. But let's say you're an introvert. You're not the life of the party. You're not a leader. You still have a kingdom.
Yeah.
Your kingdom might be taking out the trash on Sunday morning at church.
It might be.
And whoever you're helping. You come alongside somebody who is in charge.
Yeah, it could be you even in your apartment building. Say you're single, you live in an apartment building, you know in apartment 308 there is an elderly woman that maybe can't get
knock
out to
the door
trash.
And say, hey,
you want me to take your trash out? I'm going to the trash can.
It takes some courage if you're not. If you're
an
introvert.
You're an introvert, that does take courage.
Okay,
and
so here's some suggestions, though. If you don't have that kind of courage right now, find somebody who's already doing it and tag along.
That is good.
Well, I'm just saying. So, for example, maybe you just want to serve the Lord. You're not looking for any pat on the back. You just want to be with God. And God says, hey, I want you to go to the guy at church who's responsible for setting up all the chairs on Sunday morning and ask if you know.
That needs to be done.
There's your kingdom.
Yeah.
Your kingdom, your ministry is now the guy you're helping.
Yes.
And that's what I'm saying. It can be. Kingdom is an interesting thing once you begin. Here's my prayer that I've been praying now for, I'd say, 5 to 6 years, maybe a little bit longer than that, is Lord, give me kingdom eyes. And what that prayer really means is, Lord, let me see the people around me and what's really important.
And when we say get in position, because if you're a king, if you notice, and you don't have to be like, I'm greater than everybody else.
No,
we're
perfect.
Not saying that. We're just saying getting position. A king or a queen knows that there are things that they can and cannot do because it could affect their people in their community.
Right.
And their, so there has to be some wisdom of
there's an accountability aspect to this. You are an ambassador of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If you say, I'm going to be there on Sunday morning, and this is just a small thing.
Yeah.
You know, then be there on Sunday morning.
Right.
You know, to help put up the chairs, because now somebody's counting on you.
Right. So you have to have
it. It also means that if you're going to build your kingdom, guys, you need some holiness in your life.
You do.
And I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about true holiness that says, you know, I can't do this
right
and be a witness over here.
Right. So if,
I have to put this away. If I'm going to enjoy this, I can't have that.
Well, it's because you have to have pure intentions as a servant of God, as a king or queen, as God's royal priesthood. You have to have pure intentions. You have to have a heart that is amendable to others, even people who don't look, act, talk, like you, you still have to maintain a place where people feel comfortable around you, and that they would be safe around you. And that's a posture that you have to, so you would watch what you say. You wouldn't laugh at the jokes when people are being crude and saying it. So you have to maintain a posture.
Yeah, and I'm just going to share, and then we really need to spend a few minutes on something related, it's obviously related to this, but the negative side of this. I want to talk about that. Some people aren't shocked. But, you know, I find myself at work being convicted recently of, hey, Dave, you don't need to be joining in this conversation.
Right. There will be conversation.
You're no part of this conversation.
That,
and I have to back up and bow out. No, not making a big show.
You just go sit and walk away. Yeah.
Because I don't want to be. I don't want people thinking I'm condoning this conversation. Now, it's their conversation. It's not illegal. It's not quote especially inappropriate. I think it is, but. It's not my job to judge is what I'm trying to say, except for me.
Yes.
And then I have to go, you know what? No. I'm
not.
No,
because you have to maintain.
I don't want to be your listener to this.
You have to maintain that posture of, you know, that people, because one of the things I think people say sometimes about Christians is they are hypocrites.
Right.
So we, as the king, as people in the kingdom, have to maintain that we have a higher standard. To whom much is given, much is required.
Well, it took me a long time, and this is, another topic. I've got to write it down. And that is, dang, I kind of lost my train of thought, but it's a learning process.
It is a learning
process. You're going to make some mistakes. You're going to stumble. Sometimes you are not going to look like Christ. And you know what? Let God use that pick.
Yeah, because then you learn from that. Okay, we've all fallen. We've all fallen short.
And sometimes the best thing you can do is say, look at somebody and go, oops, I'm sorry.
That isn't really who I want to be. If you've done something or said something that came out.
And make
out,
it right if you can.
Yeah, if it came out and you thought about what you said, because we all say things like, ooh, that is. And you have to say, you know what, that doesn't really represent who I am right now. I'm sorry I said that. I'm still working on me. I'm still a work in progress.
I'm going to take a lot of people off the hook here.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I can do this is I've been there. I understand. If you're afraid, if you think you're not worthy, if you think you're not ready to be an ambassador of Christ, then be quiet and just walk. You know, so that takes you off the hook. That means you don't have to tap them on the shoulder and hand them a pamphlet and go through the four spiritual laws. It means that you don't have to be super, super, super Christian. Just be Christian.
Just be Christian. Christians are not the ones who handing out pamphlets. Not that it's anything wrong with that, so I'm not knocking it. The most effective Christians to me are the ones who walk the walk and talk the talk.
Amen.
Every day.
Yeah. And you know who they are by how they are. And so for those of you who are afraid or nervous or anxious or shy or whatever the case may be, don't worry about it. Just quietly be Christ. And that could be just doing your job, being supportive, being positive instead of negative. You know, that goes a long way.
That does go.
Just positivity where somebody goes, what are you up about? I mean, we're in the middle of this problem. Why are you happy? Well, because I trust in God.
Yeah.
And I'll say it, you know, and you know, but I don't know your workplace, so you have to,
I trust that it'll all get done, and then maybe in a later conversation,
I just
you
believe
can
it's all going to work out, and then maybe later they'll come back and go, "What do you believe is going to work out?"
And you,
and then you have the opportunity. They ask you, but for you guys like me, for many years who were introverted, shy, it's okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to be in the limelight.
Well, and the thing about reigning in your community, reigning in your kingdom, is that you serve where you are, how you are, knowing that
with
you'll
what you have.
With what you have, knowing that God will provide and He will advance
you
as He sees fit. But you just be willing to have an open heart to be willing.
You know, you said it several times.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard it several times, and now the Lord is saying, it's real simple. Be a servant.
Be a servant.
You know, Linda uses this term, waysower, that Jesus is our waysower, who thought it not above him to become a servant. And this is the King of Kings,
Lord
God
of Lords.
Himself.
And that, I
you
think,
know,
is
and
the...
He was willing to take on human flesh and be a servant.
Well, and that's the thing about our kingdom. It's upside down.
Yes, it is.
So,
yeah, our management's kind of weird.
Our management is weird, and our king. So the people that are most prized are those who are the servant.
Right.
And the king or the queen, which we all are, but you're a servant leader.
Perfect segue to what I want to make sure we get to before our time is up. And that is, we've talked about growing your kingdom. We've talked about how,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, simple things, little things. You have to ask God to show you. He'll prompt you. He'll show
he
you.
Will.
You're open. You'll get an idea. You go, you know what? I'm going to see if so-and-so needs anything.
Right.
You know,
maybe
they need a help with the project task that they have that you've got some experience with.
Yeah.
And help others succeed.
Yeah.
Help others grow. And it may not look like you get rewarded, but trust me.
You will.
You will. And I have no doubt about that.
It's happened.
I've been there
too many times. Yes.
Where I thought, great. So they're getting the raise. And they got the raise. But I got the reputation. You know, and it paid off somewhere else later.
Right.
Because I did the right thing. You know, and my goal at work is for everybody around me to succeed. That's my goal, you know, and that my manager is successful and that I've contributed to his or her success.
Well, if you think about
that's my
if everybody in the kingdom of God, if your goal was to serve and your goal was to lift people up, because he said, if I lift people up, they'll be drawn unto me. So if your goal was that, how would our world look?
Oh, my gosh. If we all had that servant attitude, teamwork attitude that says, you know what, I'm going to see you succeed before I see myself succeed. I try. Now, trust me. Now, I have the luxury of being 60 years old. I have the luxury of having built my career. And now I can rest on it a little bit. In other words, I'm not trying to learn a whole lot of new things because I'm nearing retirement. So I have the luxury of not worrying about a promotion.
And that is a luxury.
It is a huge luxury.
I'm not
trying to move up. You know?
I'm trying to move out of that.
I'm trying to move wider.
Yes.
Not higher.
Right. Great.
You know,
yes.
That's my community at work. And so I'm constantly trying to teach, share, mentor to those who might, to whom it may be beneficial.
Yes.
And learn myself, but
yes.
only to do my job. I'm not trying to get a promotion. Now, if it came and God laid it in my lap and somebody says, Dave, I think we really could use you here, and my employer asked me to move up, I'd move up.
Yeah.
Because I would feel like that's God's calling, but I'm not seeking that because I'm happy where I am.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole point where I really wanted to go is, now we've talked about kingdom and growing and paying attention and looking and ask the Holy Spirit to show you, you know, if you're at church and you're an old timer, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
then look for the new timers.
Yeah.
You know, look for the visitors. Look for who's troubled. It's written there for you to see. And you know, you don't have to really have, quote, the gift of discernment to look at somebody and see that they're anxious or that they're troubled. or that they're hurt, or that they're sitting there in the pew crying. You know, they're telling you, take the time, reach out, touch them. I mean, literally, maybe you're so shy you can't only speak. Walk over and platonically put your hand, you know, don't get body to body, put your hand on your shoulder and just look at him and go, oh, I'm praying for you. And walk away.
Yeah, yeah.
You will make somebody really
well, and a lot of people will say, I appreciate this. And they'll tell you what they need prayer for.
A lot of times they'll go, why?
Yeah.
And you go, well, I just, you know, if you want to answer that question, the question is, I just feel like you need it. Maybe you don't know the details. Maybe you do have the gift of discernment like Linda, and she can tell you your whole story.
Sometimes.
She can give you your life story and say, well, I know you're struggling with this because your dad was that. And it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Look at Linda and go, oh, God.
But sometimes I do. But, you know, sometimes it, with that gift is that you don't say. Because they are not ready to.
It doesn't matter.
So sometimes with those kids, you have to be careful.
You know what the issue is.
That's it.
Pray for somebody.
Yeah.
Also, and this is a little secret of mine that I'm going to share. When you tell people you're going to pray for them, you need to do it. But let me tell you the easy out. And I know this is going to sound, like I said, the easy out. If you've got a list of people that you've said you're going to pray for them, the Lord's Prayer covers all of them.
It does.
If all you've got time for a few minutes to say the Lord's Prayer, give our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those. In other words, when you pray that prayer, you pray for the whole body of Christ.
You do. And one of my secrets about that, because that's a powerful gift. Sometimes we think, well, all I can do is pray for them. No, the most powerful
understatement.
It is. The most powerful thing you can do for somebody is pray for them. And when I say that, if they are, sometimes people say, okay, can we be prepared to pray right then if you have to?
Yeah.
But if you can't, I always pray for somebody so that I don't forget anybody, and this is everybody, it's his own gift, before I leave the ground. Wherever I am with
you,
it can be simple as, Lord, help them. I don't know what it is, but help them.
Right.
That is your prayer.
Bless Tammy.
Yeah, bless Tammy. It does not
have
to be some huge prayer.
Here's the other great thing. Maybe your community is your bed.
Maybe. Oh, that's awesome.
You know, well, here's how you minister. Prayer.
Yeah.
You know, wow.
How many, and my grandmother would be one, how many grandmothers that.
Darn, you should run out.
Yeah. How many grandmothers, that's their community, that's what they do. And now it used to be that I had this huge ministry, but one of my goals is as I get older that I'm that praying grandma.
Right.
For a community of people.
Yeah. With blood or not.
Yeah.
I still get to be grandma. Well, you know, the Lord has morphed a couple of our visions. Mine has always been, I mean, for as long as I can remember, God has never let this dream leave me. It is still intact. And he says, Dave, you're going to be part of the ministry to children. And you're not necessarily going to be hands-on. You're going to be the support, you know, maybe financially, et cetera, et cetera. And then what God has said to me recently is, do you not understand they're all my children?
Mm-hmm.
So he is. This is our children.
Mm-hmm.
The people in our community are our children. You're God's children.
Right.
You know? And so, yeah. I believe he's going to answer that prayer that has never been a dream of mine that he placed there 40 years ago. I get, well, not 40, but 38.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've always believed that somehow it's going to be, well, here it is. It's just not what I thought it was going to be.
Yes.
But I do want to take a moment. So we've given all the positives, all the fun. Because it can be fun. I mean, if you can walk in the Spirit and just trust God with the results and not beat you up and not judge on, well, I got 5 people or 6 people or somebody patted them. Just let God be your judge.
Our words, don't be connected to the outcome.
Right.
Let God do that.
That's all the good stuff. Now let me give you the bad stuff.
What would that be?
It's challenging.
It is.
Jesus built a community, and what was the end result?
Yeah.
Crucifixion.
Yeah.
And if you go back and look through the Gospels, he did what we're talking about.
Yes.
He cultivated 12 guys. That was his community. I mean, that in a sense, that was his community. That was his team.
But he gave his life freely.
Right. So what I'm going to say to you folks is, this isn't a piece of cake.
Not all.
I mean, you will be misunderstood.
And sometimes you will, yeah.
Because Jesus was misunderstood. He was accused of things that were absolutely untrue. Well, you may be too. You know, some people are going to call you brown nurse. They're going to call you bootlicker. Whatever. I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
You know, if pleasing my boss pleases my ultimate boss, then I'm going to do it. If you want to call me a brown noser, call me a brown noser. I don't care. You know, but I'm not doing it for that reason. I'm doing it because I love my boss.
Well,
I care about her as much as I care about my coworker.
And in being the Lord, and if we go to the word, it says, serve as unto the Lord.
Yes.
So ultimately, it is not for mankind. You're serving as unto, and if we remember, we are his hands, feet, eyes on the earth realm.
But I just want to warn you. One of my favorite, and this is the perfect application, frankly, my favorite verse in all the Bible is Philippians 3:10. That I may know him. Know, K-N-O-W. And the fellowship of his sufferings and the power of his resurrection. I get both.
Yeah.
Well, the fellowship of suffering is not a bad thing.
And, you know, for me,
it isn't easy sometimes,
but it is all in your mindset. Because if you look for, I'm suffering, yes, you will be. If you look for, Lord, this is kind of difficult, I know it is, but I know I'll get through it. So I wouldn't look for the suffering. It may happen. Yeah, and I know what you're saying.
I'm just warning people.
It can happen, yeah.
You will be attacked.
You will be.
You will have roadblocks. Sometimes those roadblocks will be a person who just flat doesn't like you for whatever
reason.
Just a chemistry thing.
And
there's
life.
Nothing you can do about it except walk in the Spirit and be kind in return.
Yes.
There's going to be times when you're going to do for something for somebody and they're going to look at you like, what are you wanting? What's your ulterior motive? That's being misunderstood.
Yeah.
There are times when you're going to say something and people are going to look at you and go, oh, there comes goody two-shoes, hypocrite. Well, guess what? We're all hypocrites.
Mm-hmm.
The definition of the word, according to the Bible, I don't think any of us get to skip.
No.
Okay? That's.
I guess true to yourself.
Be true to yourself.
Be true to God.
There's really only one opinion that matters.
That's
and
right.
God's.
If he's called you to it, do it. That's
let
true.
God take care of the consequences.
Because he will take care of the rest. And maybe some of those things, if you've not had to ever go through some of those things in life, you may not have grown to be the person that you are. So some of those trials that we have to go through, are exercises to help you grow to be a better person.
Hang in there.
Yeah.
Remember, your greatest form of worship is obedience. You know, and then when you can get to the place, and I'm there some, more often than I used to be, I'd like to be there every minute of every day where I go, I don't care. Lord, I don't care. If you want me to do that, good. Results are your problem. Thank you. I'm free. I don't have to judge myself. You know, I mean, it is a wonderful place to be. And the Christian life can be a true adventure of ups and downs and sideways and blessings and hard times and easy times. But ultimately, I know who's in control, and I'm not worried about it.
Yeah.
Now, ask me again in 5 minutes.
Well, that's we fall down and we get back up. You know, it's just one of that continually, but eventually you stay up more than you stay down.
So I just didn't want to leave our folks with Shangri-La.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Let's be realistic. It can be fun. But sometimes you have to grow and exercise and lift the weight to grow big muscles.
Right.
And that's hard.
It is.
We're more, Linda and I, at the place where it's fun than it's hard.
But we've been through the hard places.
But it's because we've been through the hard places. We've had the endurance built into us and the faith. And it had nothing to do with us. It's just God's plan. He put us in places and he stretched us. And he's still doing that.
Yeah.
He's just a lot different than he used to be.
Definitely.
The stretching is now theological more often
it
than
is.
Anything for me. Where I'm going, wait a minute.
Well, at this age, I can look back and say I wouldn't take anything for my journey.
I don't
want to
do it again.
I don't want to do it again, but I can look back and say, yeah, if I wouldn't have grown here, I wouldn't be here.
I wouldn't be
here today
to this degree.
Yeah,
I wouldn't know what it means to be divorced.
Right. It has helped me to, be who Christ called me to be in all the areas he's called me in.
I might have just come up with a new Davidism.
What's
and
that
is, I really think that I have the word that says that we're to be conformed to the image of Christ. I know what that's the real process. But here's the Davidism. I believe it's all to cause us to be empathetic.
Yeah.
To be able to see and respond to people who may be going through something we've already gone through. And we can go, well, I know how that feels.
Really?
Or maybe I have an idea of how it feels. You know,
that scripture, all things work together for good.
Including your hard times, you know.
Yeah.
They are molding and making and forming Christ in you.
Yes,
I would not change that. Now, am I glad some of the forming's over?
Yeah,
yes,
buddy.
Thank you, Lord. You know, I'm no longer... You know, I hope to be a grandparent, but I'm no longer a parent of small children, and I don't really want to be. I mean, I would love some grandkids that we can see for a day or a weekend, you know.
Me?
But I really don't want the responsibility of raising kids again. Sorry. Yeah,
me either.
I hope
I
God
feel
doesn't
like
call
God
me back.
God has
yet.
Given us new kids and
right.
ideas and that
yeah.
kind of thing, but I'm looking forward to the grandparent part of helping.
We've actually gone over our time.
Yeah, and it's all good.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and close. We
yeah.
can go on.
Yeah.
This is a fun subject to me just because I've given it lots and lots of thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I've come to realize we, as the church,
mm-hmm.
especially the organized religious church,
mm-hmm.
have decreed what success is and what ministry is poorly.
Yeah.
Poorly.
Not
always. Not always. There are exceptions.
Definitely.
And there's lots of churches who are now teaching about the gifts and
right.
understanding and finding your place, and I love that. And, you know, but we're sharing with you, it's real simple. Look at the person sitting on your right or your left, or in front of you, or behind you, there's your ministry.
There's your ministry.
I mean, you know.
And I feel like what we want to do with this program is provide practical ways to walk the walk and talk the talk.
Well, in all this, remember, it is an honor
yeah.
to be used by the King of Kings. It is a privilege.
Yes,
it is something special. And who gets the biggest blessing?
You do.
Do.
Yeah.
Because it's
we
in
do.
Service that you meet Christ.
Yeah.
Think
That's
about
a
it.
Good way to end, honey.
I could go on. Let's stop. Yeah. Well, I'll pray this week. I
okay.
think you prayed last week. Lord, I pray that you take this message and you encourage this podcast and you encourage others. Encourage us, which you already have. To open your eyes, look at your kingdom, and start cultivating it. Well, maybe it's just one little step.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a phone call to the brother
yeah.
you're going to talk to in 6 months.
Yeah.
Dave. Maybe it's calling one of your coworkers and going, hey, I know it's Sunday, but are you okay?
Yeah.
You know, that's courageous for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Lord, so I pray for courage. I pray for faith. I pray for practical applications starting today.
Yes, yeah, gonna work.
For our listeners across, that we water and plant and let God take care of the harvest. You know, whatever. And sometimes we're lucky enough to be part of the harvest, and that's fun too.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter what part you are. You might be the plow.
Yeah.
Or in my case, you might be the donkey clothing.
And it doesn't matter.
But you still contribute.
That's
okay. So, you know, guys, don't beat yourself up. Start comparing. You go, oh, my ministry isn't the biggest. John's ministry.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. Obedience is success.
And if this program ministered to you, or you think that it would be helpful to somebody else, please feel free to share. If you have some comments or something that you feel like is a good way, or something that you feel like would be contributing to others, and ideas for other ways to share, please leave a comment so that we are more interactive. That's our goal, is to make you think and help us as Christians share how we can have this walk and do this walk every day.
Amen, in Jesus' name. I never really finished my prayer, but I'll just add that in. And keep in mind, guys, we just want to help people.
Yeah.
So like Linda said, this is not an advertisement. We're not trying to build our business, because that's not our problem. God would build the business.
And he is.
But the way he's going to do it is by prompting people like you to share the word.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, if you don't think it's worth listening to,
that's
fair.
Yes.
And let us know.
Yeah.
And if you disagree with us, let us know. If you have suggestions, let us know.
Yeah.
This is about furthering, it's about helping people think.
Building
the kingdom.
We said
that all along, you know, from day one. Our real goal here is to help people grow, to think, to examine their beliefs and their thoughts and their activities, and getting communion with God.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't, I'm going to say it, we don't really care if you call him Buddha. We don't really care if you're Hindu. We do and we don't. Ultimately, we're Christians. We're not going to apologize for that.
Mm-mm.
And that's where we come from. But if you're seeking God,
we're here to share.
We're on your side.
Yeah. We're here to share, to encourage your walk, and we don't care what you label yourself. We label ourselves as Christians, and we want you to know that, but we don't care what you label yourself. We want to care and love you. That's all we want to do, and make you think.
You know, and you take these things and apply them
how you see fit,
how God leads you.
Mm-hmm.
For my Protestant friends, hope that's not an issue for you. I don't believe it is, because I think those of you who know me, know me. I've not deviated from Christianity. I've just opened my arms to all people, and I think that's what I'm supposed to do. The second commandment is likened to the first. I love your neighbor as yourself. It didn't say if.
Well, I don't justify, and I'm not going to justify. I just say, you know, I'm just trying to live my life doing what Christ did. So
we are living biblically.
Yeah. So
those of you may have what we want to go.
Yeah.
Let's close this program.
Yeah.
We've gone way over. We probably pulled out a few skeletons there.
We just want you guys to know
this is an open broadcast.
Right.
We intend it to be open, including dissenting.
Yes.
Views. Feel free to jump in. We'd love to know somebody's out there listening.
Yeah, that would be good.
We're doing it anyway.
There you go.
We're going to keep doing it until God tells us to stop.
There you go.
Because for one thing, this is our part of our church on Sundays, right here.
Yes, it is.
I mean, we come around encouraged. We hear from God as we talk to you.
As we're talking.
It's pretty amazing.
Finally.
Bye. I'm just going to say bye.
Have a good one.
Bye.